The Lord says, I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you wouldn't return to me. Let's go to verse 7 and 8. I kept the rain from falling when you needed it the most, ruining all your crops. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. Rain fell on one field while another field withered away. People staggered from one town to another for a drink of water, but there was never enough. But still, you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. All of these devastating things that are happening here in this scripture we're reading about, what is the purpose of all these devastating things? To bring people to where? To the Lord. Why are we so stupid? Isn't that a good question? Why are we so hard-headed? Why can't, as soon as we get a first drought or something, why can't we say, Lord, I repent? Lord, I mean, fall on my knees and say, Lord, I repent. Is that what he wants us to do? Of course, that's what he wants us to do. And did you know that if we would immediately repent and worship and praise him, that the problem would go away? Do you know that if we worshiped and praised God all the time, if we loved him and worshiped him and praised him, and every man did what God told him to do, you know, there would never be a woman that'd leave her husband, would never have a divorce. There wouldn't be no such thing if men would love God with all their heart and put God first. You all know that? There wouldn't be no such thing as divorces. You know, but men don't understand women. You know, they don't. They think they do, but they do not. And it's just amazing. And I mean, I'm not a marriage counselor, but boy, I sure have talked to a lot of men and quite a few women. But I've talked to lots of men about loving their wives. And you know, when I start telling men what their requirement is, what they're supposed to do, they automatically see I'm the problem. Well, I'm going to tell you, the man's always the problem. You know, he's always the problem. You know, if a man loves his wife like Christ loves the church, like the scripture tells him, you'll never find a woman that won't love her husband. You know that? And when I asked the guy, well, my wife done it, like I've told you before, I was in the bank the other day. And there was a young man there that I know. And I said, how you doing? Oh, he said, I'm doing good. He said, I'm fixing to get married again. I said, you're fixing to get married again? I said, what happened to your other one? He said, well, she done something that she shouldn't have done. And I told him, I said, you know, before you tell me she done something, I said, I'm going to tell you done something. The problem's right here with you. And I didn't want to hear that. And so I said, so you're going to get married again? I said, you think this one's going to work? He said, if she don't mess it up, it's going to work. I told him, I said, son, you might as well just not get married right now. Guarantee it ain't going to work. I said, there ain't no perfect women. If you think you're going to find the perfect one out there, I said, you ain't going to find her. I said, until you get to where you can walk in love and do what God says, you ain't never going to find a marriage that's going to work. And so he went out there, and later I saw my son, and I was telling him about it, and he said, oh, Dad, he said, that boy, that man, he's my age, he said, in his 30s, early 30s. He says, he got married when he was 18. And then since he didn't get to run with the boys, you know, after he's getting married, had two or three children or whatever, he thinks he ought to have the freedom now to, you know, go out with the boys on Saturday night, you know, and drink a little and all that kind of good stuff. And, of course, at first he would stay out with them a couple of hours, you know, and then after a while he's out with them 3 or 4 hours, and then once in a while he'd stay out all night. When he started staying out all night, his wife thought he was running around on her, which he really wasn't. But since she thought he was, she goes out and finds her a guy, and she does run around on him. And she commits adultery on him, and then he finds out, and now he's mad at her. It's her fault. No, the problem was back here with him. He's the one that caused the problem. If he had stayed at home with her, or if he had to go out somewhere on Saturday night to run around with the boys, if he had took her with him, you know, then they'd have been together. They could have got a babysitter. They needed to go together. You know, if guys don't realize, when you get married, you give up a whole lot. You ain't free to run around with the boys no more. You got to do it God's way. You know, that's just like when a man gets saved. See, a man gets saved and he still thinks he can do everything he could do before. A woman, too. It works the same for both of you. But when you get saved, you are no longer your own. You now have just given yourself total hook, line, and sinker to Jesus. And he runs your life now. Whatever he wants to do with you, it's up to him. if he wants to use you in some way mightily for his glory, if he calls you and says, well, I want you to go teach a class. That's just like I remember hearing Joyce Myers one time when she said, God said I had worked for a secretary for a pastor out there in Denver, I believe it was. And she said, I'd worked hard as a secretary. I just loved him. And said, my husband was working out there. We were everything was going pretty good. And when we got this new church, said I had worked hours and hours and hours getting this new church up and going. And she said, when I got it up and going, or we all got it up and going, she said, we're driving down the street right facing that new church. And I said, Lord, this is it. I'm going to be his secretary forever. I love it here. And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, Joyce, I'm through with you here. She said, I rebuke you, devil. The Lord says, Joyce, this is not the devil. This is the Lord, and I'm going to use you for a Bible teacher. Lord, I ain't never been a Bible teacher. That's okay. I can make you a Bible teacher. But she argued and she fought that for a year. And her life was miserable for that next year. Then finally one day she said, okay, God, if you want me to be a ladies' Bible teacher, I'll do it. So she started a little class of about 3 or 4 women. And of course, hadn't grown much over the years, has it? Has God used Joyce Myers in a mighty way? Oh, man, she speaks to tens of thousands. You know, I mean, the woman is an awesome woman of God. She's on television. I mean, I was down here at a little church down in Arlington one night when she was there. It wasn't announced she was going to be there. You know, the little church was a little church. And she came in because her and her husband knew the pastor. But he made the statement on Sunday that Joyce is going to be here Wednesday night. And, of course, to the people. And, of course, the people invited all their friends. And, I mean, there was standing room only on Wednesday night in that little church house. And somebody invited me. And I wasn't, where I worked over there, wasn't but about 3 miles. So we went, and I heard her say, you know, if God had have told me a few years ago that my television bill would be $3.5 million a year. Now, this has been 15, 18 years ago. I don't know what it is now. She says, if God had told me my television bill was going to be worth $3.5 million, I think it was a year. Maybe it was a month. I don't know what it was, but it was awful. Big number. She said, I could have never done this. Well, see, God don't tell us, does he? But see, if he calls you to do something, does he empower you to do it? Of course he does. Sure he does, yeah. Sometimes we go kicking and screaming. But that's just the way it is. Just like he said here, I kept the rain from falling when you needed it the most, ruining all your crops. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. Rain fell on one field while another field withered away. People staggered from one town to another for a drink of water, but there was never enough, but still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. Now, at any time, all this devastation that we see here, when all this devastation begins to happen, what is it that we have to do? Just say, Lord, we repent. We're sorry. I mean, now how does this work today in the church? Today, here we're talking about a nation. In the church, we're talking about one-on-one. If everything's not going right in your life, guess who needs to repent and start over? The father, the husband, the man needs to get back in touch with God. One-on-one, a family. If your family, if everything's not going smooth in your family, I mean, if your family's not being blessed, if there's anything wrong in your family, you need to look no further than the prince, the power, the man of God, the man. I'm going to tell you that when a man gets married, if he will obey God and do what God says, and he does it 100%, and he spends his time on his knees, like the song said there a while ago, about we didn't know how that power worked, but it works. But if the man seeks God and does what he says and is obedient, you can see a family that'll be blessed beyond your wildest dreams. But everybody has to do their part. I mean, God has a set of rules. And we'll talk about those here in a minute, but we get to those. Verse 9 and 10. I struck your farms and vineyards with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured all your fig and olive trees, but still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. I sent plagues against you like the plagues I sent against Egypt long ago. I killed your young men in war and slaughtered all your horses. Killed your young men in war? Do we have that happening today? We got our young men, we're shipping them off to Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and all these other places. And, I mean, it's amazing how many I hear that a young man from Irving got killed last week. I mean, isn't that awful? Why do these things happen? Because we won't put God first. Nothing has changed. But we fail to see it. We fail to see that because we won't put God first, these things are still happening. It says, it killed your young men in war and slaughtered all your horses. The stench of death filled the air, but still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. You know, like that guy out the airport the other day was talking about that stuff. I said, you know, it's just a judgment of God. He looked at me and says, you really believe God's doing all this stuff? Yeah, I really believe God's doing all this stuff. Well, I just kind of thought God was a loving God that was up there in heaven just kind of letting us do our own thing. Hey, get over that. He's running the show. Isn't he, Edna? Is God in control, girl? Yes, he's in control. Guaranteed. Was he in control here? Yeah, is he still in control? Yes, he's still in control. He's running the show. I don't care. You know, if you think you're going to be bigger than God, forget it. I remember that preacher. Some of you will know who I'm talking about, if I could think of his name. He was a young, when I was in Vietnam, he come over there a few years after I was there. And, Dave something. What's that? The guy that got burned so bad? What's his name? Anybody? You know who I'm talking about. Reavers, yeah, Dave Reavers, yeah, that's it, Dave. Yeah, anyway, he got burned terrible. A phosphorus bomb went off in his hand, and he just was burned. Nearly everybody around him was killed, and they thought he was dead too. His story is an awesome story. But when he finally got to where he could walk again, he came back home, and he said, I walked into that church, and he said, I walked into that church, I looked up, and I said, God, you clearly said in your word, I could ask you for anything and you would do it. Obviously, he had studied the scripture. I think his daddy was a pastor too or something. So he said, God, I demand that you heal me right this minute in the name of Jesus, or else I'm going to do something to you. He said, I literally heard God laugh in that church.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Devastation Brings Us Back to God, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.